Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Monday morning, you sure look fine. Friday, I got traveling on my mind. First you love me, and then you fade away. I can't go on believing this way.
Senator Boyd and committee, we had significant testimony about the shape of the industry, and we really needed a 911 fix. That the financial reports were pretty bleak about where we would be.
Yeah, property insurance, because insurers are fleeing the state because we've had a lot of claims recently. And, you know, every time there's a big storm season, there's always issues as companies go under. And, you know, what happens is that then, you know, people shift over onto Citizens. But what one of the problems is, what if the Citizens rates are actually better than the private market? You know, there's this is a very complicated terrain. We're going to talk about this coming up with Senator Broxton here in about 30 minutes. That's his voice you hear. But this was one of the things that the legislature was looking at reforming this year and did pass. So there's going to be some significant changes, including like how quickly the Citizens can raise their rates in comparison with the private marketplace. Because, you know, again, you don't want the rate on Citizens to be below the private market, because then essentially the state is acting like the not only the cheaper insurance, but they're competing against the private marketplace. And you want the private marketplace to bring this money into the state to be funding these insurance policies. You don't want the state on the hook for this stuff. So this is, generally speaking, in theory, this is going to be good. The problem is whether it's going to raise rates for people, especially rates for people who are on Citizens.
Do you think this will allow outside investment groups to have new confidence in the Florida market, where we can buoy up some of the deficiencies that we have? And are you confident this bill will send that message and do what we need it to do?
Senator Boyd, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Broxton, for that question. I do believe it will help market kind of rebuild itself.
Yeah, that which is the goal. Again, the Citizens insurance for people, you know, the wind and general coverage for people who can't get insurance otherwise, is meant to be like an insurance safety net for people that are unable to get regular insurance, which obviously that is more common in areas that are prone to storms, because the private insurer is like, no. And so you have the, you know, the state comes in as kind of the insurer of last resort through Citizens. But there are all kinds of problems with doing it that way. So the goal is to get others to come in. Well, why would they not want to? Because we have problems in Florida, not just the number of claims, that's an issue, but also all of the litigation and the fraud.
One of the main cost drivers, and it's no secret, we talked about it, was the frivolous lawsuits and the solicitations that went around and the activities around those. As we talked about the last time we closed on our Senate bill, 8% of the homeowners' claims across the country are from Florida. 76%, as relates to the rest of the company, our country, of lawsuits are in Florida. I mean, that just is honestly unbelievable to me.
That is a huge number. 8% versus 76% of the lawsuits, that's amazing. This is Senator Boyd on the floor of the Senate on Friday before they did sign you die. So what's the problem? Well, if you've got fraud, if you've got litigiousness, and if you've got a high number of claims based on storms, people aren't going to bring money into the market.
Capital markets are looking at their chance to obviously make a profit. And if they think they can't do it because the system is so stacked against them, they're not going to bring their capital here. Carriers, as we know and we talked about before, the domestics, some of them are seeking capital and they're not able to get it right now. And that's very bad for our market.
That is bad, because that means you don't have enough insurers, you don't have variety, competition. And because ultimately the state winds up being on the hook through the Citizens program, which you want as few people as possible on Citizens. Right. And so how to make that happen, that's kind of the goal. Annette Tadeo is a senator from the Democrat side. And look, I don't think she's wrong. I think she's right in this observation. She raises it as an objection to the reform package, to the bills, but and of course, several other senators who are representing districts where they're going to see their rates go up also raised it. But what's your alternative? Like, the status quo is not working.
I'm very troubled by the fact that in this bill, we are going to allow Citizens Insurance to raise the rates. There is no sugarcoating this. It literally is going to raise the rates. And I'm talking, you know, already, at least in my area of South Florida, it is prohibitive.
Yeah, no, she's right. I mean, it's going to raise rates. And for people who are in areas where they can only get citizens, it's going to raise their rate. And a lot of these folks are not particularly well-to-do. I mean, some might be, but it's going to raise rate. But the problem is, right now, things are headed in the wrong direction. They're not fixing themselves. Insurance companies, I think the number was enormous that Senator Brandis quoted. I don't remember the number offhand, so I don't want to get it wrong. But it was an enormous amount of money that they lost last year in the state of Florida. That's sustainable if we want to have a private insurance market for housing.
The problems in the market are such that the chance for rates to go down aren't going to happen. So this measure to getting out the bad actors, the frivolous lawsuits, and the unscrupulous contractors, and the cost attendant to that will lower rates.
Now, one thing that didn't make it through was all of the changes they were looking at in terms of housing, or in terms of roofing claims. I thought the roofing claim stuff made sense. Because one of the problems you have is that people look at wind or storm insurance as the way to get their roof fixed. Dude, you got to replace your roof every 20 years regardless. I mean, so the idea that a 17-year-old roof should be replaced because of a storm back to, new level, that's completely misguided on what insurance is supposed to do. But an effort to try to reform some of that stuff didn't survive the final version of this bill. So the short takeaway of this is that they're going to allow a little bit higher rate of increase in the annual increase of cost premiums for citizens. There's some other elements of it as well, but it is an effort to try to encourage private insurance companies to come back in, especially to storm hit areas, and also to reform some of the litigation and some of the things that have been used to encourage litigation right now. Like I said, we'll talk more in detail about the changes to this coming up with Senator Broxton in about a half hour, but this is important stuff for your homeowner's insurance. 716 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
And going back to Garcelle Point Bridge in the northbound span, we're seeing some slower moving traffic trying to get through that toll plaza. The traffic is backed up just after, it's not even midway under the bridge yet, so nothing that's going to be too significant. And also, as you're traveling along northbound, should check and clear the rest of the way after you get through the toll plaza. Southbound, checking and clear on Avalon and Garcelle, I-10, I-110, Scenic Highway, these areas all flowing smoothly, and the front gate of NAS Pensacola checking in clear. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So you're in construction, you're on the job site, and you run into a problem. And you need a solution, like, now. So what do you do? Well, you might go to your normal hardware supply, and you ask them for the thing, and they tell you it's going to be a day. And then you're, like, shut down for the day because you can't continue working. Or you go to Pensacola Hardware, and you're like, do you have, oh, yeah, got it in stock. Okay. And by the way, the next time, you don't need to come into the store. We'll bring it out to you on the job site, because we know that time, that's money for you, right? And by the way, you came in here to pay with a credit card. No. We'll put you on a monthly bill, so you don't have to send a guy in with a credit card every single time. See, they know the problem. They know the solution. They know the code. They know the inspectors. They know the business, because it's what they've been doing for 170 years, almost as old as the county at 200 years old. Pensacola Hardware has been helping people just like you build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola for all this time. Stop by today and ask them what they can do to help you at 20 East Gregory Street.
I didn't destroy the evidence, because the evidence is exculpatory.
Pensacola's all-day news station. News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
Beginning here, and it will be Medina Spirit who comes out the best to take the early lead.
There you go. Medina Spirit with the early lead. Larry Coleman's on the call through the midpoint, through the final turn, into the stretch.
Closing on the outside, the four of them come into the final furlong. Mandalone fighting for the front. Medina Spirit battles on. Hot Rod Charlie on the outside. And Central Quality on the far outside. The four of them coming to the finish in the Kentucky Derby. Here's the wire. Bob Beffrick does it again.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Seven times. And all that money spent on the wrong horse. Don't trust the odds. 722 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark, did you watch the Derby live?
I did not see it live. And unfortunately, I was going to place a small wager, but darn.
Didn't happen.
Missed my chance and should have placed a big one.
Yeah, exactly. You would have bet on Baffert?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, that's usually a good bet. I'm always, every time there's a Triple Crown race, I try to watch it with the boys, and we pick a horse and watch it like we bet. We don't actually bet, but like we bet. They always accuse me, though, because we never watch them live. They always accuse me of knowing the answer before, you know?
Because you always know the answer.
But I don't. I really try to shield myself, because it's not fun
when
you're
not
watching it, and you're like, I know how this turns out.
Every year I have this thing called the Davis Allen Annual $10 Bet. Mm. Where I put $10 on a horse, just 10. If I lose it, then I'm okay. I'll survive.
And?
I've done it 4 years in a row.
And?
I'm 0-4.
Nice.
Oh. So I got to keep it going now, I guess.
Well done. Oh, yeah. You got to keep throwing good money after bad.
Who'd you pick?
Absolutely.
I Hot Rod Charlie.
Oh, well, okay.
But Hot Rod Charlie.
But not for all three places, only to win?
Only to win. I'll be honest, I don't know enough to go 1-2-3.
I'm the same way.
No.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think if I've ever bet on a horse race. I don't think I have.
I'll tell you, I worked in Louisville for 17 years and placed a bet on every Kentucky Derby and never won one.
So this is the testimonial. Yeah. This is why gambling is a bad idea. Well done, gentlemen. I appreciate that. All right, Mark, what else is going on in the newsroom?
About 400 people expected to attend Andrew Brown Jr.'s funeral today in North Carolina. He was shot in his car as deputies were serving an arrest warrant. Protesters out for a 12th day yesterday. The White House making it easier to get protected against coronavirus. Now 40,000 pharmacies with the vaccine. Most have walk-in hours. Also a text line to find a nearby location. Hollywood mourning the death of an Oscar winner. Olympia Dukakis died over the weekend among her many roles. She starred in Steel Magnolias alongside Sally Field, Shirley MacLaine, Julia Roberts, and Dolly Parton.
Clary, I'm surprised at you talking about your kin that way.
As somebody always said, if you can't say anything nice about anybody, come sit by me.
Yeah, just come right over here and sit down. Dukakis won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress alongside Cher and Nicolas Cage in Moonstruck. She was 89.
All right. Wow. All right, Mark, thanks so much for the update. And the cousin of Mike Dukakis, right? So who ran unsuccessfully to become president of the United States. 725 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Oh, if you're getting your pool ready, now you might have already kept it ready throughout the spring, but if you're getting your pool ready for summer, it might cost you a little bit more this year. I'll tell you about that coming up in just a second. Before that, Davis Allen, time for Traffic on the Five.
Interesting. All right. Well, traveling northbound Garcon Point Bridge, it is a little slow moving as you're approaching the Avalon side. That's as you're trying to get through the toll plaza. Just a little delayed getting through there. Southbound Avalon, seeing some buildup at that light at Avalon and Garcon Point Road. Nothing that's too delayed, though. If you're traveling southbound on the bridge, it's flowing smoothly. And also seeing some Avalon delays going northbound around the area of Monterey Lane. Highway 90 through Milton Pace, checking and clear. Same with Highway 29 through Cantonment. Also 9 Mile Road, I-10, I-110, all reporting no delays. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
A couple of different ways people think about their health. You know, way number one is that you're going to go to the doctor when a bone breaks, you know, or a major calamity hits, or go to the emergency room. I don't go to a doctor, I go to the emergency room. Okay, this is a terrible way to think about your health. Instead, the way you want to think about your health is routine checkups, regular maintenance. I mean, you have a complex mechanical biological system, and you know it's somewhat self-healing, but it is not always, and so it's good to get those routine regular checks. Well, if that makes sense to you when it comes to your body, how about another mechanical system that you own in your car that doesn't self-heal, like at all? Cars don't self-heal. Same philosophy. That's what Bobby Likas Auto Care, that's how they think about auto services, not just fixing the problem, but preventing the problem, anticipating the problem, and taking preventative action to make sure that it doesn't become a problem. I mean, that's kind of the idea. It saves you money, It saves you inconvenience. It prolongs the life of your car by doing all of these routine scheduled things and some of the, like, not routine, but make sure that you get them before they're a problem, nip it in the bud kind of stuff. And if that philosophy makes sense to you, then take your car into Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway. That's how they think about it, and they want you to think about it that way as well. Right here on Davis Highway, if you need more information, go to carclinicservice.com. So if you've got a pool and you're getting ready to put it into service, or you've been maintaining it all along, there's an issue that you might not realize. You know, even though here in Florida you might have your pool more often in season, elsewhere in the country, as we're moving into spring, right, and moving into summer, more and more people are going to be putting their pools in service. Where is the demand level on what particular thing that you need for pools? Chlorine, unless you have a saltwater system, right? But if you got a chlorine system, right, you have chlorine needs, and as everybody starts to buy more chlorine, well, there's a problem. There's three manufacturers of chlorine in the United States, and last August in Lake Charles, Louisiana, the BioLab had a fire, and their production is out, meaning chlorine supply is down this year, and with demand coming up, the experts are saying that they're expecting a rise in price of maybe 70% chlorine. And chlorine. You know, so I'm just saying, you know, if you got time today at lunch, it might be time to go buy the chlorine. You know, go by the pool place and buy your chlorine for now. Or you may be into rationing it. Or you may be into paying more for it. I'm just saying, I don't have a pool, so it's not an issue for me. But for those of you who have them, be aware this may become a thing here in the near future.
I'm Jennifer Kuschenko with Your Money Now. Apple faces one of its most serious legal threats in recent years, a trial that begins today that threatens to upend its iron control over its App Store, which brings in billions of dollars each year while feeding more than 1.6 billion iPhones, iPads, and other devices. The federal court case is being brought by Epic Games, maker of the popular video game Fortnite. Epic wants to topple the so-called walled garden of the App Store, which Apple started building 13 years ago. Chinese tech giant Baidu has rolled out its paid driverless taxi service, making it the first company to commercialize autonomous driving operations in China. Unlike previous Baidu autonomous driving demonstrations in Beijing, this was the first time there was no safety driver sitting behind the wheel. Instead, a safety member was seated in the front passenger seat to deal with any emergencies. On Wall Street, futures pointing to strong gains after stocks closed lower on Friday. The Dow Industrials fell 185. That's Your Money Now.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton.
Not only was she my friend, during the election cycle, she would walk with me door to door and tell people of her admiration for the things that we stand for on our side. She taught me a valuable lesson in life, that the people that you may disagree with the most may represent the smallest part of who they are.
This is such a beautiful thing. This is Senator Doug Broxson on the floor of the Senate on Friday doing a tribute moment for a woman that was a political activist, mostly on the opposite side of him on political issues. You know, touted also by Gary Farmer, who couldn't be more opposed to Doug Broxson on politics, but somebody with whom he became friends over time. And it was really just a great reminder that politics doesn't need to make us enemies, and that even our political views may be only the smallest portion of who we are. Senator Broxson joins us now, representing District 1, Santa Rosa, Escambia, and a little bit of Okaloosa County. Senator Broxson, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Congratulations on signing die. And I just want to take a second and praise you for taking this moment to remind us what can be done in human terms, even despite our politics.
Well, thank you. That was a very emotional time for Janet Mabry, who was a constituent of ours and lived in Gulf Breeze and was just a great lady. We miss her.
Yeah, and it was very sweet of you to take that time to honor her. I really did appreciate that tremendously. Well, it's end of session, and one of the things we talked about a little bit ago on the show, but one of the things I think people haven't been paying as much attention to as they probably should, you know, that's always the case. The high-profile issues that get a lot of attention aren't necessarily the most significant ones. The changes that have been put into place on property insurance, homeowners insurance, especially with related to claims and the way Citizens is going to function, I know this is a big, complicated thing, but can you take just a second and tell people what this means for them going forward?
Well, I think everyone that has rental property or live in a home has already knows what we're talking about, and that's their rates are going up. And it's really for a simple reason. Traditionally, we used to go through a adjusting process. Now we go through an attorney. Florida represents 8% of the property insurance in the United States and 70% of all the lawsuits related to property. So you can see that we're flipped in what we how we do it, and we've got to flip it back the other way. But otherwise, people will not be able to afford a homeowner's policy or any other property policy in Florida. And this is exactly what this bill tried to do, is to put things back into order.
Now, the specifics having to do with the allowable rate increases for Citizens in order to decrease the competition they provide to the private market, which is not their role, that's one slice of it. But the other slice of it is the things that are designed to discourage litigation or to take away some of the ways litigation had been pursued before, right? As you were talking about, the reforms to the system. Talk about some of that.
Well, as I said, the main problem is that when people, we have an unusual phenomenon in Florida that right after a storm, you'll get a knock on the door from a roofer or an adjuster who says, I can get you more money, or I can get you a new roof, or I can get you this for free. And of course, none of it's free. Insurance companies' money comes from people like you and I. And all we're saying is, hey, there's a way that we can do it. We'll keep your premiums down. Let's go through the standard way of presenting a claim, keep it out of the courthouse, and we think we can do a good job in getting you back to where you were prior to the event and hopefully reduce your premiums. On the Citizens issue, they're on a 10% increase glide path. We have never been a part of that glide path because we don't have near the use of Citizens as they do in Southeast Florida. If right. we were to have a pure rate, theirs would go up 30%. Ours would probably go down 10%. But since it's a statewide program, we all kind of enjoy the pain of what happens within Citizens. So we tried to deal with that, and I think hopefully people will get the message.
Right, right. Which, I mean, you know, obviously we all pay to some degree because what it's from a portion of our regular homeowners insurance that partially goes to fund that, right? So we all do pay in a sense if that program isn't functioning at an optimal pace, right?
We would in the event that it was oversubscribed. In other words, we took more money out than they had the ability to pay. Then since it's owned by the people of Florida, then all of us would have to pay the difference in the claims that they're paying out, which would be something I hope we never see.
I certainly hope that as well. It was a big session, and one of the things you were very active on, obviously, chair of the Education Committee. Lots of changes. We were just talking about this last hour with Representative Andrade. Lots of changes to education, from workforce training and, you know, to the coalition of some of the scholarship funds, and even an increase in eligibility for voucher programs. What's something that stands out to you that you're particularly proud of this year for education?
Well, after talking to most every university president and college president and the 67 superintendent of schools, the fact that we were not going to cut them as we promised prior to the session, they actually got full funding plus the money that they'll get from the federal government, which is unbelievably sizable. I mean, the federal government sent directly to the colleges and universities and to the school districts $13 billion over our budget. So we let them keep all that money, and we fully funded them. So I feel very good that our school system is in financially good order. And hopefully they'll be responsible in those monies that they receive from the federal government and will not create programs that they expect the legislature to fund in out years. It's a big issue. We've never seen the kind of invasion of dollars that we've had from Washington. Our general fund received $10 billion, and we almost, at the end of session, we're at a zero balance as far as negative from what we were last year. We were only $500 million short of being fully capable of meeting all the needs in the state of Florida that we had appropriated last year. And to see $10 billion added to that, it's just mind-boggling.
It is. And as you mentioned when you were talking, you given your presentation, that the increase for individuals funding in the school system has gone up again this year, which is, again, that's good news for these school systems that are trying to, you know, take care of their students. We're talking to Senator Doug Broxson, our state senator from District 1.
These are divided.
Oh, hold on. I'm so sorry. We didn't have you on for a second. I'm so sorry. I asked you the question, then okay. We didn't have your mic on. Go ahead with your answer. Sorry about that.
Okay. It's two really divided issues. Florida is the in the top 10, in the bottom 10% of what we allow for reimbursement for unemployment. The second part is that because of the federal mandates, we are still paying unemployment to people that should be working. And we've got to come up with a system that lets people go back to work because they have to go back to work. If you have a choice of getting benefits and staying home and watching TV all day, I think the choice is for many people is clear. But that issue had to do with trying to deal with a long-term issue of where we are with the amount that we allow people that are legitimately unemployed to be able to pay their basic bills. I am very concerned, and we became even more concerned, we may deal with it in special session, that the people that are being offered jobs right now refuse to take them. All they want you to do is sign their sheet saying that they made an appearance and not go back to work. Many of these benefits are going to run out pretty soon, and I think we're going to see people come back to work. But it really is disheartening to know that able-bodied people would prefer to just bleed out a system that was trying to be fair to them rather than getting back involved in helping us recover from the COVID pandemic.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, the business owners I know all have, like, if they don't have an actual list, they think about having a list of the people that come in to apply to get the check mark that they can't get a hold of to get it, to offer a job, because, you know, that's all they're doing right now. Hey, last question for you, Senator. I know you've been very active on getting the bridge reopened, going out and inspecting it. You're going to go out and inspect it again this week. But what is your current expectation for the reopening of the 3-mile bridge?
Well, Wednesday, the secretary is driving over, and we're going to meet with Commissioner Bender and Peach, and we're going to hopefully drive all the way across the bridge without any stops. That's my goal. Last time we were there, we could go to Pier 70, which was not complete, but hopefully it will be completed by the time we're there Wednesday. And then once that's done and they put up some barriers, part of the bridge will not be completed, but hopefully we're going to be back in business at least two lanes very, very quickly. That's my goal. That's my expectation. And that's the reason that I've been visiting and doing a personal tour every 2 weeks to make sure that what I tell you on this, you know, on this interview is true and not something someone showed me through Zoom.
Okay. Well, I mean, it sounds like you and Alex Andrade are on the same page here in the certain expectation of the Memorial Day deadline and likely earlier than that for at least two lanes. Is that what I hear you saying?
That's definitely my expectation, and hopefully four lanes fairly quickly after that. And then in early 2022, we'll have eight lanes.
Yeah.
That would even be better.
I think it'll be six because I think it's three on either side, but I know what you mean. And certainly we'll take it. Senator Doug Broxson, he is our state senator for District 1. Senator, thank you so much for the time this morning. We look forward to your report after Wednesday's tour. And I said it, and I'll say it anytime that somebody comes on, it's difficult work working in the legislature, being away from your family and your business, and I appreciate that you do it on our behalf and that you're always responsive when we have questions for you. So thank you so much for serving the state, sir. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. 7:51 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Well, wow. I mean, when Alex Andrade told us last week that he thought maybe the bridge would be open to two lanes mid-May, I was, okay, you know. But now both he and Broxson are saying the same thing. They're not given a date, which I understand, but they are both saying, look, for sure Memorial Day, probably sooner. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
It's a busy day in Mississippi with crews working to clear roads of fallen trees and power lines, just some of the damage left behind after a night of tornadoes. National Weather Service confirms three tore through the state, but had reports of 19. A South Carolina senator thinks police reform is closer to happening than ever before.
In a way, this time, my friends on the left aren't looking for the issue. They're looking for a solution. And the things that I offered last year are more popular this year.
Speaking on CBS's Face the Nation, Republican Tim Scott says lawmakers are more intent on making communities safer. Talk about a fish story. A 6-foot, 10-inch, 240-pound fish is back in the Detroit River after being caught last week. The Fish and Wildlife Conservation Office says the sturgeon is believed to be a female who's been roaming those waters for more than a century. The office notes the real-life river monster is one of the largest sturgeon ever recorded.
And now starting at center for the University of Michigan, 240 pounds, 100-year-old non-traditional student, Senior Sturgeon.
That's a big fish.
That is a big fish. Hard to make a three-pointer, though, with the fins. Mark, thanks so much for the update and the breathing. You know, that'd be an issue, too. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Let me turn my mic on. That ought to work. Well, the Kentucky Derby, always one of the more popular sporting events in the United States. And who's going to be the winner going down the stretch?
In the Kentucky Derby, here's the wire.
Bob Baffert's horse does it again. Well, the horse that he trained does it again. Medina Spirit coming in with the victory. Originally at 30-1 odds, but as they adjusted the odds, I think it was 13-1 odds. And Medina Spirit gives Bob Baffert his 7th Kentucky Derby. But that wasn't the only cool thing that happened in the sports world. The New York Jets in the 4th round on Saturday drafting a local guy.
And with the 107th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the New York Jets select Michael Carter, running back, North Carolina.
Michael Carter out of North Carolina, but also out of Navarre High School. So a really cool story. Second local guy to get drafted. And Alex Leatherwood out of Alabama, also Washington High School. He went in the first round back on Thursday. It's a quick shot of sports.
All I know in the Derby was that Known Agenda finished 9th. Wearing the green and white St. Louis Cardinals logo.
And that was your favorite horse.
That was the one I picked, yeah, because the jockey looked awesome. I loved it. And it did not do well.
Yeah, my annual $10 bet is now 0-4. We're not doing good. All right, traffic on the fives because we have an accident, I-10. This is affecting east and westbound traffic. Eastbound, just as you're getting off of the bridge, there's a rolled over vehicle, and the westbound lane is delayed because first responders are on that side of the lane, and they're currently bringing a stretcher over to get the person out of the rolled over vehicle, which is causing a complete stoppage on the eastbound side. This is backed up onto Escambia Bay Bridge. Use caution. Expect these delays. And if you're going eastbound, you're committed to this. Unless you really want to take a long second route, just go ahead and stay patient as you're trying to get across the bridge this morning. Going northbound, we're seeing delays on Avalon as a result of this, backed up to Shady Bayou Road. And also, we're seeing east and westbound delays on Gulf Breeze Parkway. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you've got any kind of a plumbing issue, a leak, a drip, a weird sound in the wall, water pressure, water temperature, if it's plumbing in your house, call Barberry Plumbing. Flat rate pricing based on the job, not based on the time. No questions, no surprises. Barberry Plumbing, 477-8782. So, crazy story over the weekend. Manchester United was getting ready to play, and the soccer fans of Man United said, no, no, we're not going to let you. 10,000 protesters basically broke into the stadium, occupied the pitch. They're not allowed to be inside during games these days because of COVID, but they're angry because the owners, who also own the Tampa Bay Bucks, were part of this trying to make the Super League, which so alienated the fans that they want them out of the game of owning the club. This is fascinating because Arsenal, same thing. English or American owners who own the LA Rams and the some of the Denver teams. So the consequences of pushing for this big, you know, Super League are blown back.